It's time for The Drive on TSN 1200, sending you home with everything you need to know about sports. Now with Matt Conisvita, here's Lee Versage.
Welcome to The Drive here on TSN 1200. It is Lee Versage, Matt Conisvita. Nice to join you after frantic pace, but the United States survive 1-0. They beat Iran. And they are off to the round of 16, where they will face the Netherlands coming up on Saturday. And you heard also England dispose of Wales 3-0 to win their group. And England will now have to wait until Sunday to play Senegal in the round of 16. Oh boy, you could just see it. We were watching on the television, and good afternoon, Matt Conisvita. We were watching and accurately depicted by the radio broadcaster. Everyone just fell to the ground when that final whistle went in the U.S. Iran. Disappointment with Iran, exhaustion, and happiness with the United States moving on.
Yeah, what a finish. What a finish. Iran, as the commentators pointed out throughout the broadcast, like, their two goals in their win in the group stage came in stoppage time. And they're a team that historically does their best work late. And I think the commentator said in like the last 15 minutes of the match or something, Iran had 85% of the possession. Oh. And you could see they were so close. They had a couple of moments. There's a header that just went wide. There's a ball that leaked through the keeper but didn't have enough on it. As they said on the broadcast, the keeper was nutmegged. it was real close. And I just saw on my Twitter timeline, The Ringer putting out the U.S. men's national team. And it's SpongeBob leaning against a wall looking like, whoo!
Holding himself up.
Yeah. But they're through. The U.S. is through. CONCACAF will be represented in the round of 16. And England, a dominant showing in the group stage. A favorable matchup. They get some rest. We'll see if they can exercise. Continue to, because the last World Cup, they made it further than they usually did. Did they not? I think they actually won on penalties for the first time in a million years.
Which is not what we're used to from England.
No, exactly. So a good opportunity for them in the round of 16, and the U.S. will be in tough. I wonder if the boss is stressed. I think the big thing for Team USA is going to be the status of Christian Pulisic, who scored the goal but was injured when he scored the goal. And clearly he's their most important player, and if he's unavailable for that match against the Netherlands, that could be big trouble.
Yeah, England made it all the way to the semifinals in 2018. They beat Sweden in the quarterfinals, and they did beat Colombia in the round of 16 on penalties, something that they would usually not do well at. And I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I was trying to think of, okay, Canada is going to play Morocco coming up in a couple of days. They are out of the World Cup after that. And look, if you have some family lineage, I think you're probably going to cheer for that country. But who is the country that is the most polarizing now? I feel like it's England, where there's going to be a lot of support, but they're also kind of feel like they're the Dallas Cowboys, right? Like, they're the team that is
all the arrogance of it's coming home. And
well, not that, just a lot of people will tune in to watch them lose. Like, it's a traffic accident, no matter what, right? Winning, losing, when England plays.
Yeah, I think you're bang on. And I know you don't talk. I think the it's coming home is a huge part of it. Like, the entitlement of English fans, and maybe less Cowboys, because the Cowboys have won something in most current people's lifetimes. It might be more like the Toronto Maple Leafs, where it's like you've got this fan base that thinks we're so great and we deserve all the accolades. And when was the last time England won a World Cup? won a global best-on-best tournament. And so it might be that they're more of the Leafs. Now, I know that I don't feel the vitriol towards the English soccer team that I feel towards the Leafs. But I think you're right. And I mean, I've called the Cowboys the Leafs of the NFL.
Did I tell you this? I don't think I told you this. I was at Costco last week and I parked the car and, you know, you try and just, it's one of those close your eyes, get in, get out. It's never easy.
Yeah, Costco is one of those. I'm just going in to get a barbecue chicken and
it's not.
How did I spend $300?
No.
And spend 3 hours here.
Did exactly that.
Of course.
But, and by the way, busier at 2 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon than at 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon.
Huh.
How does that even work?
The magic of Costco.
Yeah, the magic of people working from home.
Yeah.
But the whole story was that I parked beside a car, and I don't often take pictures of cars that I park beside, but this one, yeah, I needed to do that because as I pull up the picture, it was just really, you're driving around in that. So on the back, it was a minivan, and on the back window of the minivan, it says, and you can see it because I'm showing it to you, Stanley Cup champions with the Leafs. And then do you see what the license plate is? Leafs 67.
No. Okay.
So I get it. Like, you're proud. But I don't know. Like, at some point, do you take this down? Even off the windshield? You might, maybe can't change the license plate. It's been a long time.
Well, you don't have to change the license plate. That's the good news. Is if, like, the Leafs are going out and winning championships every couple of years, you're going to have to update the license plate. You know, you don't have to worry about that. You can keep your Leaf 67.
Somebody's driving around in Ottawa with this car.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It just doesn't surprise me at all.
No, but does it not feel like 55 years is a long time?
I mean, it is. It certainly is.
Like, are you bragging about 55 years ago with this on your car? Is that what you're doing?
I think what you're doing is you're repping your team. You're remembering the last time your team achieved glory, and you're hoping that, like, maybe they've had this sticker for like 10 years. Since maybe they've had it for 20 years. Maybe they've had it for 5 years. Maybe they've had it since they got the sticker and the license plate when the Leafs started achieving regular season success.
Would you do this?
No, of course not. But I'm not a Leafs fan.
Do you know anybody in your life that would do this?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, I know some ridiculous Leafs fans. Yes. 100%.
I don't know. This feels like...
If you're listening, Richie, I'm talking about you.
But this feels like the Statue of Limitations has come and gone a long time ago on 55 years.
Well, one of the things I'm wondering, because... and we'll talk some Sens, I'm sure.
Oh, we will.
As they host the New York Rangers tomorrow. But I'll be working the Rangers broadcast. I don't know. So for the longest time, Dave Maloney would be the analyst on radio. And he'd always be off during intermissions and pregame doing hits on television. But the Rangers didn't travel last year. And so I haven't seen them since before the pandemic. But before the pandemic, Dave was doing a lot of television. And so one of the guys that would fill in for him on the radio is a guy who won a Stanley Cup with the Toronto Maple Leafs, Pete Stemkowski. And so I'm wondering if there's not a small chance that tomorrow night I'll be working with Stemmer, a guy who won a cup with the Toronto Maple Leafs. So I
think he would drive around with that on his car?
No.
Okay. He won the cup.
He does. At least one of the times that I worked with him, he had his ring on, his Stanley Cup ring.
I think you can flex that a little bit more when you don't work for that club.
Yeah, for sure.
Like when you work for another club that's had a lot of success. A lot, but...
I was going to say, have they? Like 94, and then when was it before 94?
1940.
So, 2 Stanley Cups since 1940.
Yeah, but
it's not a lot. The Leafs have more.
And they've had some success. They've got to the final. Like,
oh, for sure.
They've done some things.
For sure. But I don't know that I'd say the Rangers are way, way, way more successful in recent history than the Leafs.
I think it'd be easier to wear a Leaf 67 ring when you don't work for the team. That's all. And look, I don't know if this is just somebody crossing their fingers and hoping and remembering the good times. And if it is, I don't want to take it away from you, but it's a little embarrassing that it's going around this town. It's a little embarrassing.
Well, I'm sure they don't get the benefit of the doubt if they're cutting somebody off on the roads or driving a little less than great.
Right. I wonder if they get a lot of people honking. And
you're
people,
number one.
Yeah, on the roads. So, yes, the Sens did practice today getting set for the New York Rangers. And Derek Brassard didn't practice, but no big deal. He's going to be there and in the lineup tomorrow. And really not a lot to talk about. They worked on the power play a lot. The lines look the same.
Anton Forsberg spent a lot of time on the ice before the skate.
Right.
Spoke to the media afterwards. Sounds like he's doing well. Injured himself in the morning skate in Vegas. And sounds like he's good to back up and probably good to go, which is a good sign.
Yep. But Talbot looks like he's going to get the start tomorrow.
Of course. Yep. But that's sort of like I'm backing up your point here. The biggest news from today is Anton Forsberg is feeling good. Maintenance day for Brass, as you said, but just a maintenance day, no problem. Well, Anton Forsberg will back up.
Goalie coach that got a concussion in San Jose after taking a puck to the head? We're seeing a lot of this. Right? Like Jack Campbell got that puck in the head, broken nose, sitting on the bench in Edmonton. Zach Burke gets a concussion from a puck in practice. Some of this stuff that just very unlikely to have happened. But yeah, I mean, the real news for me is that the Ottawa Senators are going to have to figure out a way to beat, you know, I think a team that hasn't performed as well as I think some people thought, but still a really good team in the New York Rangers. And they're going to have to find a way to do it for Ottawa a couple of times. Like, heard DJ Smith talking earlier today, and he's right. If you were starting from the beginning of the season, he's like, we got to work this way all the time. We have to play this way to be able to win 6 of every 10. But 6 of every 10 right now is not getting you into where you want to be. And I understand you got to start small, but
how do you eat an elephant, Lee?
I don't think you do.
One bite at a time.
You would eat an elephant?
Well, if you were going to, you would have to eat it one bite at a time. Mm. And I know we talked on this show with Steve Lloyd yesterday. That was yesterday, right?
About elephants?
Just about how the math right now doesn't look good.
I know.
And so you want to talk about winning 6 of 10 and getting specific and saying that's not going to be good enough? Sure. But what did we hear? And I know that this isn't the best example given how the season turned out, but the attitude from the Red Blacks all season long was we're just trying to go 1-0 every week. And if you're the Ottawa Senators, you can't think, all right, well, now we need to win 7 of 10 to even give ourselves a shot. You can't be thinking about it that way. You need to be focused on the task at hand, the next game. I know AJ likes to break it down into smaller segments of games, but if you're the Ottawa Senators right now, you've seen around the NHL, you've seen teams like the St. Louis Blues. They were the last undefeated team in the NHL this year, promptly went to lose, was it 7 or 8 in a row?
8 in a row.
All in regulation. Then rip off 7 wins in a row. We've seen the New Jersey Devils go on a ridiculous winning streak. The Seattle Kraken right now on a 5-game winning streak. Streaks are there to be had this season. We've seen it all around the league. But you can't think about it that way. And I know that might not necessarily make for the greatest sports talk, but
yeah,
you got to look at it one game at a time. And
that's in the room. I agree with you. But then the coach is coming out and saying 6 of 10.
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's seen his team play. And if the coach says, you know what, we need to win 8 of 10.
Well, you shouldn't then be saying any of 10.
Sure. And that's a conversation we can have.
Well, let's have it then.
I'm not as bothered by it. Like,
no, I mean, look, they have to say something. They got to win games. And they won 8 of their first 21. Not good enough.
Not good enough.
So what they tell themselves in the locker room, good for them. I don't know if they want to break it down by 5-minute increments or by periods or by games. I really don't care how they break it down, to be quite frank with you. I do not care. The outside world, this team needs to go on a streak. They need to get on a run, and they need to win some games. Now.
Well, they've won 2 in a row.
Yep.
And as you said, the Rangers are a team that underachieving a little bit. I think I saw Larry Brooks putting somewhere out where Shesterkin was calling himself out, talking about himself in the third person. Something about like the goalie is terrible. I'm going to look it up in the break here, but I remember seeing that quote and trying to figure it and then be, oh, he's talking about himself.
But this is a team that's 1 point out of a wild card spot right now in the New York Rangers. 10-9-4. So
I think what we've learned so far this season is outside of Boston, pretty much every team feels like they can, any given night, can win or lose. And I don't know. I guess New Jersey's the other team that has a win percentage above 800. But for the most part, like, it feels almost like the NFL. Like, the year of parity is upon us.
But there are teams that know, and I understand what you're saying, but there are teams that you don't even think of right now. The Leafs, okay? They played 24 times. Yeah, we can criticize them because they've already lost 5 games in overtime or a shootout, which is a big number. So is Carolina. But the Leafs have lost 5 times in regulation in 24 efforts. So they're getting points night after night after night, including last night in Detroit. So is Carolina. Carolina is doing the ultimate Carolina. 11 wins, 6 losses, 5 overtime losses. Really, they're 11-11, but they figured out a way to get 5 more points, which is the difference from them being 3rd in their division and 3 points out of a playoff spot. It's so hard to make up points in the National Hockey League. We'll talk a little bit more here about the Ottawa Senators. Dr. Raj Batla from the Royal will join us on our last installment of Men's Mental Health Tuesdays here on The Drive, and we'll talk some football as well. OBJ is going to visit some teams that don't start with Dallas. Interesting for OBJ, where he decides to go. So we'll talk about all of that. Your text messages are welcome. Matt Consvito with your first look at traffic and weather here on The Drive on TSN 1200.
The Drive continues on TSN 1200.
Welcome back to The Drive. Lever Sage Matt Consvito with you until 6 o'clock. Yes, like a rock. We get it, Matt. There were curling tickets on the line in that commercial break. Like a rock. Who was able to get through to talk to you, caller 9?
Caller 9 today was Jeff Donnelly.
Wow!
Fired up to be going to see some curling.
He was. Fired up.
He was.
That's good.
He was behind the wheel on the car phone.
Yeah.
Could hear the turn signal a little bit. But yeah, he was fired up. Really excited to be going to see the curling. He said he'd just been looking into the tickets and stuff, and so he's thankful. Thankful to us for setting him up. We'll be watching them throw the rocks down at TD Place.
Well, the World Men's Curling Championships, they're so much fun. And what used to be Canada, Sweden, a couple other countries, is now like 7, 8, 9 deep that can win. And with a little bit of curling news, only the 5th time in the century-long history. The Canadian Men's Curling Championship and the Brier will have a new title sponsor after this year. After the Brier, that's set for March 3rd through 12th in London, with Tim Hortons as the title sponsor. They are looking for new sponsorship. So that'll be interesting to see where they go. Dr. Raj Batla is going to join us from the Royal and talk a little bit more about men's mental health. We've been doing it all the month of November. And, you know, with some transitions that are awfully difficult from being a boy to becoming a man, that is not an easy transition. And nobody better than the former psychiatrist in chief of the Royal to be able to talk to us about that. So he'll do so in a couple of minutes. I wanted to throw this NFL stat at you, Mr. Conesvita. 12 weeks through the season so far in the National Football League, how many times have teams come back from 10 or more points down to win a game?
Well, how many times have the Baltimore Ravens lost? Because I know it's happened like many times.
Like every time they've played. I think they're 7-4. I'd have to go back and check.
Well, so that's four right there. We had the crazy Tua comeback. I'm going to say 15. That's probably a little high, but I feel like it's been a bit of a crazy year.
Yeah. I like the fact that you think you're high. 36.
What?
36 times. And yes, the Baltimore Ravens are 7-4, so you can include those four.
Yeah, four for sure.
36 times through 12 weeks. It's the most ever in the history of the National Football League. And it just goes to show you what we used to think of if your team got down. Like, say they're going into the half and they're down three and the team you're playing, you know, you kick off to them, they score a touchdown, they're up 10. Game over.
Well, I know that's how I was feeling when the Eagles very, very quickly went up 13-0 against my Pack. Then next thing you know, what is going on? And then the Eagles were the Eagles.
But it's playmakers. It's the ability to throw the ball down the field very quickly. 36 times a team has come from 10 or more back to win a game. And we're only through 12 weeks. So we would expect, like, that number could get to 50 before the end of the year, which is mind-boggling. We will turn our attention, though, and throughout the month of November, we have focused on men's mental health. And we've been very, very fortunate to be able to partner with the Royal Ottawa. And joining us here on our last installment is Dr. Raj Batla, who is the former psychiatrist-in-chief of the Royal and now psychiatrist with an operational stress injury clinic at the Royal. Dr. Botla's name goes very, very far in this community and across the country. We're very privileged to have you on, Dr. Batla. How are you today?
I'm well, Lee. A pleasure, as always.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to talk to you again. And we've been tackling a number of issues throughout the month of November, and you know, this is something that I know that you've been at the helm for a long time in trying to have some understanding of. It's the transition from being, you know, a teenager, being a boy, into becoming a man, and how we get through some of that transition, because, you know, sometimes we talk about it as parents, we talk about it as, you know, people that, you know, are looking in from afar as opposed to being in it. So let's just start there and say, like, how big of a challenge is this compared to what we might think?
Well, I think it's a challenge in general, boys and girls. I think what you need to start off with making sure you have as much as possible, you know, happy, healthy, competent, confident boys. You need a baseline where they're in good shape prior to the transitioning into teenage years and then into young adults. So I've always said, you know, father presence early on with boys and girls, crucially important. The importance of connecting, playing, growing the self-esteem, and behaving in ways, because kids still look up to their parents for, I would say, leadership, and parents still raise their kids. So if you expose them to, you know, things like compassion, gratitude, empathy, not in terms of teaching them, but trying to live that, I think you create happy, healthy, confident boys and, frankly, girls. And when it comes to transition, I think really important to watch what's happening currently to our young men and women. And the social media landscape is really tough. So how do you develop some of those habits to still, you know, have, you know, that dinner table conversation, put away the cell phones, and make sure that they are doing things outside of, you know, the social media use, which is growing so rapidly, and then exposing them to other things. But, you know, some of the key things are making sure they have a good baseline and that you behave in a way that, you know, they will want to emulate, which is, you know, less and less common these days.
I think we've tried, you know, to erase some of the stigma of emotion and opening up and being able to communicate kind of what you're feeling. But as you said, with the social media world and the phones and everything else, sometimes that becomes difficult. Where are we in young people, men and women, boys and girls, to be able to communicate how they're feeling with their parents, with their friends? Because certainly back years ago, that was more difficult.
Yeah, so I think I would say it's easier to technically connect with people now, given all the technology that's available. But it's in some ways a bit harder to have those meaningful relationships that develop when you have one-to-one conversations. You really get to meet and know people as opposed to having, you know, multiple friends and likes. So it's both easier and harder than it's ever been in the past. There are some growing resources that are especially important for boys, because boys develop, they develop their verbal skills later than girls. And so that affects them through the school years in general. And they often feel bad about their, lack of competitiveness verbally with girls. And, you know, it hurts their self-esteem. So in some ways, as they're getting older, and especially for people of, you know, my generation, you didn't talk that much about your feelings. So hopefully we're breaking through some of that stigma. The talk about mental health and talk in general is becoming easier. And I know there are places that are developing resources to help with that type of thing as well, and make it more common to talk about feelings and things.
So for boys and men specifically, what are some of the challenges that are presented to boys and men that, you know, they have to deal with, and that try to overcome it with other people?
Well, I think you've identified some of it already, Lee, and one of the big ones is the ability to really connect in the same way that girls are, better socially, they're better verbally, and boys don't always, and men, don't always connect as much, so they don't have their sort of peer groups. And when they do, they don't always connect in a way that is always as robust as the one would like. So how do you get men to start to create more of a social network, create more of an expectation that they're there to help each other, and be able to open up a little bit? And I'll give you some resources later for, you know, men who are wanting to do that more, but a bit challenged and actually a bit embarrassed. So I don't think we should blame people who are having difficulty with that, but actually help them move along their path of desire.
Yeah, I hope we're getting past the embarrassment part, but it's so easy to say, it's so hard to do when you're in those shoes to be able to come forward. So what are some of the resources that you were mentioning?
Yeah, so some of the resources are with since we are in November now, so Movember Canada and Movember International has really put together some nice tools on their website, so it's movember.com, that you know, teach how to communicate some difficult things. There's an acronym they use called ALEC, A-L-E-C, and it there's some online service that is interactive, and it teaches you to ask questions in an open-ended way. That's the A. Then L, listen. And that's listening without judgment and not to provide solutions right away, and then encourage action to actually follow up in a non-judgmental way, and then check in and care for the person that might be struggling. It's a pretty nice tool, actually. I've gone there and checked it out, and it's quite interactive and a really good resource.
Yeah, Movember.com you can go to, and there are so many different things on the website that... You know, and you've been on talk about this before. It's still jarring to hear this, though. Looking at doing some different things like exercising, Dr. Batla, which I know has helped me and a lot of other people a lot when it comes to mental health. But runner walk 60K over the month for 60 men we lose to suicide every hour across the world. That is. No matter how many times that you either say that or read that, that number is just staggering.
It is a staggering number, actually. And the other way to look at it, and the same stat, by the way, it's that we lose one man to suicide every minute globally, like every minute. It's a shocking statistic, actually, and I think I don't want to go down the negative path, but that's a challenge that we need to deal with and actually recognize that it's a specific issue mainly for boys and men across the entire lifespan of males, and think what we can do more to address it by, you know, understanding that men also can take care of themselves a little better, open up better, even when it comes to physical health, as you point out. We're not as good at women of taking care of ourselves, going to the doctor regularly, getting heart checkups, and we still die, 4 to 5 years sooner than women. So not just the suicide stat, but just the self-care stat. So a little more compassion, I think, to ourselves as men, and making sure we're doing right by ourselves and thereby doing right by our families and our kids.
Yeah, and sometimes, as you said, it's not necessarily a negative thing. It's just these are the stats, so let's try and do a better job at that self-care, as you said, to be able to put ourselves in some better positions. We are so fortunate to be able to partner with you, Dr. Raj Batla, from The Royal, and for everything you know, you continue to do, and for everything the Royal does for this community, we're very thankful. So thank you for your time, and we will continue to get some messages out. We have done 5 of them over the month of November here on TSN 1200.
Yeah. Lee, can I give you one more thing for the Giving Tuesday, if I may?
Absolutely.
Okay, so it is Giving Tuesday, so I always do put a plug in for the Royal. I mean, it is our premier mental health facility, I think in many ways in the country, but I'll at least say in our city and region. But if on this Giving Tuesday, the audience would like to make a small contribution, I think it's $5, by texting HOPE to 80100, that's 80100, and you text HOPE to that, and you make a small contribution to what I believe is a premier mental health facility, certainly around.
Give the number one more time for people who heard it but didn't take it all down.
Okay, it's to text HOPE, that's H-O-P-E, of course, to the number 80100.
80100, text the word HOPE. For a $5 donation. Dr. Raj Batla, thank you so much. Your continued work is improving our city and our country. Thank you.
Thank you, Lee. Much appreciated. Take care.
There goes Dr. Raj Batla on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Gabriel Pizza, the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators. So if you do want to be able to make a contribution, text the word HOPE to 80100, a $5 contribution to the Royal. We'll take a break, come back with more of The Drive on TSN 1200.
The Drive continues on TSN 1200.
Welcome back to The Drive, Lever Sage, Matt Conesvita. Loving some hip as we get close to the 5 o'clock hour. Still one of my favorite bands of all time.
I used to really not like the hip back in the day. Back in like my early radio listening days, listening to classic rock radio, and I wasn't a huge fan. I think Gord Downie's voice used to annoy me a little bit. I don't know. I used to have some weird, strong takes on music, and I think part
used
of it...
Used to? Sorry.
Well, I yeah. Yeah, you think I'm bad now. You should have known me when I was like 15, because it was a doozy. But man, love the hip now. Like, absolutely love them. And it's one of those things where I can't really figure out why I wasn't huge on them. I think it might have been like almost a hipster thing where so many people I knew were like, oh, the hip are the best band. And I'm like, you know what? I'm tired of you and your takes. I need to like something a bit more obscure. Now I'm all in on the Tragically Hip. And I'm not as like a super deep cuts guy as like you and Lloydie.
Yeah.
I'd never heard that song before. I'm going to check out that whole album now, because that's something I need to do with the hip, because I've got all sorts. I don't know how many full albums of theirs I have, like maybe two. I think I've got Road Apples and maybe one other one.
Fully Completely, probably.
Probably that one. But I've got all sorts of hip on my iPod, and I still have an iPod, and I get that going when I'm cooking dinner and stuff around the house, but...
Love that.
Man, I love the hip.
An iPod.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's set up with the Bluetooth speaker in the kitchen, and if we're cooking dinner, the iPod's on. And then if we've got a fire going in the fireplace, we've got the LPs going on the record player.
I do feel like... I'm very surprised by this, but it's nice that you're kind of going back and maybe a re-listen. I grew up on Up to Here, that album.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just feel like you would be the type of guy to really like Up to Here and Road Apples.
Love Road Apples.
As it went along. Yeah, like Up to Here was right along with it.
Yeah,
like,
I'm going to check that out. That's my listening homework. Maybe I'll do that tonight. Doing some trivia tonight, but maybe after trivia.
Well, you know,
we're on some Up to Here.
My homework tonight will be recording another edition of This Is Wrestling.
Oh,
the podcast.
The best wrestling podcast there is.
Yeah.
You can get it wherever you get your podcasts. Just punch in This Is Wrestling.
Which I do on the purple button on my iPhone.
You can ask your smart podcast. Device, play This Is Wrestling.
That's the best. Actually, I do that a lot.
Yeah.
At home, just because I can.
Yeah.
And instantly it comes on. But we're going to tape another episode tonight. So this new, you know, there's always some, I'll call it stupid social media. What do you call this? Like, it's...
That's the Spotify thing, right? Where Spotify has created your concert festival lineup.
Right. And your concert festival lineup, if you have Spotify, so it would be like Lever Sage Fest. And then all of the bands and singers that you would like in a three-day
I feel like it would
festival.
Be Tragically Hip, and then a lot of stuff I was not interested in at all for Versage Fest.
Maybe. But I'm going to create my... What I'm going to do, though, is tear down Zach McGibbon, because his Zach McGibbon Fest, which I'll send to you, is, like, horrific. This is off the heels of the Survivor Series pay-per-view, which we'll recap. And the fact that he likes extra pulp in his orange juice, and that he thinks Snickers somehow is, like, the best chocolate bar ever. So he's not having
still
a good,
on the Snickers thing.
He's not having a good few weeks, and this will not. He will continue to not have a.
I can't wait to see the list.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. Right, it's not very good, but and way down the list on like the first band on like the last day is the Tragically Hip. Like in these very, you can't even see the letters of the Tragically Hip because it's so small.
Hmm.
Yeah, he's got a lot to learn. Anyway, new edition will be out probably. Well, I was going to say tomorrow morning, but whenever Matt Consvita gets around to posting it.
Yeah, so late tomorrow afternoon.
Fantastic.
Well, I'm not even in this booth tomorrow. I'll be working out at the CTC with Don LaGreca, producing him on the afternoon show.
Second most famous LaGreca going.
ESPN New York.
he's pretty famous.
I'll be setting Donnie up tomorrow afternoon, and then you and I... Hosting from the broadcast booth just down the hall.
Nice.
We're on from 4 to 5. Then you've got the Sens pregame show. Sens hosting the Rangers back from their California road trip. I'll be working with Don LaGreca and maybe a former Leaf who won a Stanley Cup.
How about the Rangers last night?
Maybe Dave Maloney. How about the Rangers?
Got out to a 2-0 lead 3 minutes in.
Pretty good.
Yeah. You know what's not pretty good? The Devils.
Yeah.
They don't get fazed by stuff like that.
Your Devils are legit. Your Devils are legit.
19-4, Matt. 19-4. They got down 2-0 3 minutes in at MSG. Yeah, no problem. Came back, a couple of goals to tie it. They won 5-3 last night.
Just as we wrap up the hour and go to break, I want to thank Brad for figuring out and remembering for me what probably rubbed me the wrong way. He tweeted at me. The hip wore a bit thin on a lot of people for a while because they were the easy and overused CanCon requirement go-to for the mid to late 90s. Nothing really to do with their music itself, just people getting sick of hearing them. And you know what, Brad? I think you're bang on. I think you're bang on that it was just...
Do you remember...
I heard too much of them.
Do you remember the Tea Party and Moist and Our Lady Peace and all of the great 90s Canadian bands?
I do. And I loved all of them. And for whatever reason, the hip were the one that rubbed me the wrong way.
They got played a lot, for sure.
But I think, Brad, I think you're bang on. I think that's what it was.
580 CFRA news update. Come back with the final hour of The Drive here on TSN 1200.